Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The first 4 hours were simply in a moose-boosh.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's emerging podcast scene.
Brought to you by Extend Technologies. Online first, XTNDAV.com. What's going on, Tone?
You okay? Running around. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, you're going on a lot of ins and outs, what have you. Why are you having secret meetings without me?
A lot of developing situations. It is unbelievable how this college football thing. College football has not really been, I would say, in the headlines in a big way this season.
No.
It's been a weird college football season. Finally, people are getting what they wanted, which is not the usual suspects, not Clemson, not Ohio State, not Alabama.
I think what they say they wanted.
Well, yeah, yeah, but, you and know. And Oklahoma. Yeah. You know, most people had Oklahoma having a shot to be in this at the beginning of the year. Oklahoma ends up changing their quarterback. Then they had a run, and then they lost their head coach. So it is one of the wilder seasons I can remember. You have to go back. 2007 was a wild season. There have been some wild seasons in college football. But then the Lincoln Riley thing, getting the ball rolling.
Yep.
LSU then poaching Brian Kelly from a team that has a chance to play for a national title or
yep.
at least make the playoffs. And now a bunch of coaches could be changing again because who is Notre Dame going to hire? And if they stay in-house, fine. That ends the carousel. But if they take Luke Fickell, now who does Cincinnati hire?
And then
as the mid-major team get poached, like what happens there? And so all this happened, I think, I'm not positive, but all this really happened because Oklahoma loses that game last week. And if they win that game, they have a chance against Oklahoma State
yep.
to play in the playoff. Does Lincoln leave then? It didn't seem like he wanted to leave at all. But some people said he was going to get hired at LSU. Mike Lombardi reported last night that a catering kind of love these stories in college sports.
Oh.
This doesn't happen in the NFL. The college stuff is great because there's so many people that are part – of these stories.
They're not as closed off as they are in the NFL.
Yeah, NFL is closed off. They
yep.
really are. It's so private. We can get into why that is. That's very interesting that it is.
Ask me.
But Mike Lombardi had reported that a catering crew had been dispatched to celebrate and to cater for the party for Lincoln Riley to go to LSU. This is unbelievable.
It's amazing. Okay, let's discuss that part first because that's just delicious.
It's juicy. Yeah.
The reason in the NFL,
we don't know how much any head coach makes in the NFL.
No, but the NFL, it's all, like you said, it's public. Like they're not tax exempt anymore, are they?
I don't know how that works.
I don't think
they
are though. I don't think they are though. I think they used to be. And then I think they looked at it and like, this is a really bad look. Is there something that's changed now? This is why you don't know, because I think they are no longer tax exempt. And so they don't have to report salaries of coaches. Before we knew, and now it's all a big mystery, how much each of these coaches make, and that's the thing. Like, we got to pay our taxes now. We don't have to tell you what any of us make. And so I think that that's part of the reason. But in the NFL, I know it's much more closed off because you don't have donors. You do not have donors. I mean, there are people who are season ticket holders, and they like to pump up their chest. And there's certainly people who are big-time sponsors who are pillars in our community who have their names on billboards and they're partners with the teams, and certainly with the Browns, and that's great, but they still don't have the type of access and information that donors have at colleges. And so the donors who, I mean, and by the way, in the NFL, donors do not pay salary. The owner pays salary. That's how that works. In college football, we know this. There are, that's part of the reasons why coaches have certain obligations that they have to fill, and they have to do their coaches' shows and this and the other, because you're paid by the company that you're doing the coaches' show from. So if you are...
And they hand around the hat. Anytime assistant coaches need money or you want to elevate a salary to keep a coach, all right, everybody, and pony up $1 million. You got $1 million.
Exactly.
You got $1 million. You got $1 million.
And it's you have to figure out, because it's not just, and this is where, like, we're looking at Brian Kelly and $95 million and looking at Lincoln Riley and over $100 million. It's not just about paying them, and it's not just about paying the coordinators. It is everyone that you have to pay. It is not just the, we look at the coaching staff. It's also recruiting analysts. It's people who are not, you see on the sideline, but you don't know who they are. You don't know their name. You have to make sure that they're paid six figures so they don't have to live a far away, that they can, that they're comfortable, that they won't leave you for more money. So that's why somebody has to pay this, and it can't all just be the school. Somebody who's a big donor is willing to pay an obscene amount of money, and they basically become a pseudo, they're not the owner, they become the pseudo owner of the football program. And so they are connected, and they're there. And basically, in a lot of these ways, like Lincoln Riley, yes, he has the bull by the balls right now. But there's a lot of donors that he's got to answer to, and there's going to be some functions that he don't want to be at that he's going to be at, because they're paying him a boatload of money to do so. He doesn't have a house payment from what the report I saw.
Yeah,
it's,
he won't really,
unreal.
And he doesn't really earn his autonomy the way that, say, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban earned until he wins championship.
When he wins a national championship, and I underline win, because I think USC's a sleeping giant, and I know
a
lot of people are mad at Lincoln Riley for leaving.
I do too.
One day we'll tell that story, not now. A lot of people are mad at Lincoln Riley, but you and I both agree that is a place that L.A. is just a fertile ground. You have so many good players there. I think he's going to do a great job.
Here's what you really have. Like, Lincoln was amazing at Oklahoma because he was getting skill position guys to come there because they loved his system. They saw that it was a launching pad to the NFL. And that's what Urban Meyer was selling to Florida, Ohio State. That's what Ryan Day is selling right now. That's why he's recruiting so well. Players want, offensively at least, they want to be a part of that. Lincoln Riley, it's why NFL teams want Lincoln Riley so bad. Not because they know for sure he's a great leader or anything like that. They're like, this guy will give us a schematic advantage. Now, it's a dangerous road to go around in the NFL, because as you have you seen with Kevin Stefanski, that comes and goes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. But Lincoln Riley had to work, but he was able to get a bunch of the California, Texas skill position players to come play at Oklahoma. Now, he doesn't have to do any of the heavy lifting. He's going to be right there. And those players, those wide receivers and quarterbacks who right now are at Ohio State is getting the California skill position players. Like, they are at those types of programs. They'll just go right there. They'll just stay in California now.
There's a reason for him to play. Like, I was watching USC, UCLA, and then I was watching USC, BYU. First off, USC, UCLA... It's a rivalry game. There are so many seats available. USC BYU, the place was barren. I mean, we're talking the Coliseum here. And if you win, we saw them during the Carroll years. You couldn't find a seat in that building. And, I mean, we're talking a 100,000-seat stadium. And I know it's older and it's a relic and it's part of what makes college football great, But you got to be able to fill up that place. And I think Lincoln Riley will bring the type of caliber player that will make them exuberant, will make them fun. It's a fit. He's a star. I'm a hater in a lot of ways, but I wish I could say it somewhere else. I wish I could say it a different way. I think he's going to fit. I think it's going to work. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win the Pac-12 in a couple of years, and I think that they will be a
they could win it this year.
National championship contender. Yeah, probably. But I'm trying to give him a little bit of time because I think he's got to get his guys in there and they got to be, you know, he's got to figure out who's his guys, who's not his guys. How many guys are he going to bring over from Oklahoma?
Seems like he's bringing all the guys that matter right away.
True. How many guys are going to come in? So I think that, I'm just trying to give it a little bit of a timeline. I'm trying to get a little bit more space. Because if you say he can win, then it turns into he wins, and then he should win in 1 year. Even though if you're making that type of investment, does it matter? Because you're still going to give him a ton of time anyway. Like, I could see, like, if we're 4 years from now and he hasn't won a Pac-12, like, people are going to be hitting panic buttons.
Sure.
But I think he's going to win the Pac-12 in a couple of years.
Yeah, that'll be the Tom Herman thing.
Yes. He'll win the Pac-12 in a couple of years. I think he's going to be a national title contender in a couple of years. And I think they'll probably win a national title with USC with Lincoln Riley.
Kenny, is that bad when it comes to college football? I know we have some audio I want to get to, too, because AA.
Yeah, you called for it. He found it.
He tracked out some great stuff. Guys reacting almost in real time from Notre Dame's football program, what happened with Brian Kelly. Is it bad for college football that this has a very NBA feel to it? How the NBA, we love the player. We love in terms of headlines and stories. But then the games aren't as big. Like college football, the games have not been as big recently as they used to be. They're not life or death like they used to be. And yet this coaching stuff, this stole the headlines from the NFL last night.
Nobody cared
about who won that game last night.
They
cared about Brian Kelly.
When they expand the top, it's just these, what's the future of it? Because we're talking about big time money here. What's the future of college football and coaching? Like Alex Rodriguez, his contract, the first what 250, it really blew everybody away. Now that's old hat, and you know, for the fan base that gets the player, they're really excited. Baseball's really excited. How many times does it raise our eyes? Will it do the same thing in college football? Will it make things even more interesting? Where is any program in a comfortable place with their coach?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Ohio State, like, I've always thought.
Do you feel like Harbaugh in Michigan just after that win?
Bingo. I've always thought, going back to what Barry Switzer told Bull and Fox years ago about Lincoln Riley, and I say years ago, like 3-4 years ago, Barry Switzer was on Bull and Fox, and I love how he said this before in other interviews because you could tell because other people have quoted this. Barry Switzer was on Bull and Fox, and Barry Switzer told him, he said, what job? He goes, there are a couple of really special jobs in the NFL, and then there's about 28 that are exactly the same. They're the same job. So, like, there's the coach of a certain team, and then there's the also-rans. And in college football, how many of those jobs are open? How many of those jobs in the NFL are open at any given time that tells you that you can jump and leave your position in college football and find a job as good as that in college football?
Like, so you think we just found that out?
I think we did. I think we found that out, but also when it comes to Ryan Day, I thought Ohio State was in that mix, and I think Ohio State is in that mix of this is an extremely special job. You don't just leave this job for anything. I thought Oklahoma was in that mix. And so many people are saying, well, it's because of USC. It's because of USC. Or it's because of the SEC. It's because of the SEC. Yes, but what is Oklahoma going to do? Because for every action, there's a reaction. LSU, people are going crazy about LSU. Guys, it was 5 years ago. They were bitching and moaning about how they had no money. Remember, they were crying poor. They were talking about they couldn't fire Les Miles because they didn't have the money to replace him or pay the buyout or anything like that, and they couldn't pay his salary. Now they found a way to get $95 million for freaking Brian Kelly. Like, money comes out of certain places with certain people who want to play in the game. And I think that Oklahoma, I wouldn't count Oklahoma out. I think Oklahoma will do that. Oklahoma has a beautiful program. They have beautiful history. They have a beautiful campus. Will they be able to get guys out of the SEC, especially when you find out, when you realize Nick Saban's 69? How much longer is he going to do this? How much longer is Nick Saban going to do
this? Well, that's what LSU is banking on.
Exactly, because right now it's one guy and everybody else. When that guy goes, I don't know if it's just going to be somebody's going to be the next Nick Saban. How often do you replace a Nick Saban? A generation. So it could be LSU, Georgia, Oklahoma, maybe Texas. You know, Texas, right now you keep Steve Sarkisian, but you could also be thinking, gosh, all these great coaches are going to these other places. They're not going to leave next year. If we got to get rid of Steve Sarkisian next year and start a rebuild, who are we going to get? What are we going to do? But you have –
they have to feel so stupid that that's their coach right now after you realize a year later who is available.
And they also feel that you know them. They got to feel that they didn't think it was going to be this big of a rebuild, and it turns out – you guys got a massive rebuild ahead.
At Texas.
At Texas, of all places. So you're going to have these places that if they're willing to foot the bill and get good recruiters in and do it the right way, then fine. But there's still going to be a bottleneck. You can only have so many top-tier teams before you don't have a top tier. So, yes, somebody's going to take it on the chin. And I don't know if it's going to be Georgia or Florida whoever.
I also, Kenny, think that for people that have never – God, this is going to sound pompous.
Do it.
And I only had a small window to be able to do this. But if you've ever actually spent time talking to athletic directors or football coaches or boosters or board of trustees, these are all the people in the mix. And I guess to some extent, university president. This is stuff I used to cover at Ohio State and had connections.
Yeah.
I still kind of understand that world a little bit. Just because a coach has a great job and makes a ton of money and wears the gear and has the catchphrase of their school doesn't mean they're happy. Even if they win, these guys are always battling their athletic directors or their boosters. They always want more. These coaches always think, I've got to keep up with the Joneses. I have to have, not just necessarily compensation, but that's a big part. Mm-hmm. But I can't keep my coordinators. That's like Dabo. It's been amazing. He's been able to keep his coordinators over time because those guys want better jobs and they want more money. Mm-hmm. So to keep everybody happy, you got to keep ponying up. You got to keep going back to the boosters. You've got to make a plea to the athletic directors. Then the athletic directors, they have other sports to worry about. And I know football coaches don't want to hear that, but basketball is a revenue getter, and these universities are tasked, make money every which way you can. Make money on women's basketball, too, by the way, if you can. Make money on wrestling, if you can.
Yeah, real quick. So, I mean,
some places can.
LSU, I mean, they went after Kim Mulkey for a reason.
Yes!
With women's basketball.
People scoff. People laugh and say that's small potatoes. That's not the way these universities
being
counters think. They say, go make money and let what can be self-sustainable make self-sustainable. Football is not going to just pay for everything, even though it pays for most.
Yeah, I know that it's a big revenue loss for a lot of colleges. I get that, and I'm not just trying to be Pollyanna about this stuff, but at Baylor, it was a moneymaker.
Yeah.
They filled the place up, and they liked watching their team, and they made money, and that's what Kim Mulkey brings, and that's why they decided to go bring her back to LSU.
Yeah.
Bring it to LSU.
So when I laugh when people are like, what does that coach have to be upset about? Why would he ever leave that place where he's winning and making that much money? There's always ways to make that coach even happier. And it's not always just pay the guy more.
Yeah.
It is, well, I can't keep losing my defensive coordinators every 3 years. I can't rebuild. These guys are recruiting. Now they're recruiting against me once they become a head coach somewhere else. I need to keep them. How do you do that? Well, I'm not giving up my money. But you need to go find somebody to write another check. Then it's about facilities. Athletic director says, hey, you're tapped out. We can't upgrade the facilities. Yeah, then you know what? I'm getting on the phone with my agent. Like, I don't think people realize the discord that happens at these universities. And I know what someone's listening going, well, who cares then? They're playing dirty pool anyway. Oh, fine. Then you lose the guy.
Yeah.
Then you lose the guy. I guarantee you Brian Kelly – he got them to relax on some of the standards in his decade at Notre Dame, but not enough to compete at a realistic level. Look at the recruiting edge. And finally, he has a top five recruiting class, but he can't do it every year at Notre Dame. They're just not going to allow it. Lou Holtz, they kind of bent the rules, and he was involved in some scandals. There's a book written about those scandals. If you want to win at the highest level, you know, when I think about other programs like Oklahoma, we just talked about Oklahoma. Terrific job of recruiting the skill position players. They still don't have anywhere near the talent of Alabama year in and year out. They still don't. You might be able to get a quarterback, and they have. They've gotten like four of them back to back to back to back. But look at the guys that are sitting for Alabama, sitting on defense, and Alabama's not having the year that they normally have. But in most years, guys that can't even get on the field. Look at the receiver that couldn't get on the field for Ohio State this year and transferred to Alabama was the best receiver in the SEC this year.
And then you go on the other side with defense. We talk about it all the time with Georgia. You have two defensive linemen.
Oh, my God.
You have one defensive lineman who starts at Florida State. The other one starts in the SEC. Guys who couldn't get on the field or even dress, it seems, for the Georgia Bulldogs, and they start for other teams. Well, obviously, the FSU is an ACC school. I didn't want it to sound like that. But you have, like, major programs, and FSU's kind of on its ass, even though they finished off pretty nice. And now, I got to throw this in here. Like, Jimbo Stan, it seems, at Texas A&M, they got what looks like could end up being the number one recruiting class in the country. So how long's A&M going to be a four-loss football team, three-loss football team, before all of a sudden they start pounding away at 11-1, 12-0, college football playoff? Like, now it kind of makes me want to keep the four-team college football playoff because there's so much good argument here about who deserves to be in or who eventually we could get excited about being in. Because when you do get to 12, well, yeah, Texas A&M will just be in. A&M will just be in. And I know we'll have another couple of different arguments about can they beat Alabama? Can they beat Georgia? Can USC beat them? Can Oklahoma, with whoever their coach is going to be, beat them? And you brought up the Notre Dame thing. This is where Notre Dame finds themselves in another crisis. You got enough money. You got all the money in the world. Your facilities are top-notch.
And yet, supposedly they don't pay their coaches as much,
well,
which is weird to me.
That's another thing, and that's something that's got to be figured out. But the other thing that's kind of interesting is I am – and, hey, listen, I'm 35. I'm not a 17-year-old kid. But and I obviously wasn't very good at football. But I'm a very, like, you think you're better than me type of guy – and I wouldn't move to – there were towns here I wouldn't move to just because it's like, eh, it's just not a right fit. I'm not this type of guy. It ain't that way. And in Notre Dame is that way in there, those type of people. And even that, I was captivated. I was there for 40 minutes with you, and I was captivated. That place will get in your blood, and it'll change. And it's such a good job because 17-year-olds buy into the school. But it's also the point of – are you going to be able to deal with the frustration of just, as Notre Dame, going out there and knowing you cannot compete unless they just wake up on the wrong side of the bed with Alabama or Georgia?
And no matter if you're having your best season in 20 years, you still can't compete.
And you can give me, well, they kept it close with Georgia a couple years ago. Yeah. That was a couple years ago. I think it's a different animal right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think Georgia would run them off the field this year. And they might have a chance to play Georgia this year without Brian Kelly. But they might have their chance to play Georgia this year and prove me wrong. But it is a wake-up call.
Well, you got to think about it this way. Ari Wasserman is the king of recruiting matters. He's like, stars do matter.
Yes.
Now, when you get into four and then down to three stars, okay, they're diamonds in the rough, and guys end up that are three stars, four stars. Few of them every year might make it into the first round or second round, okay, of a draft, of an NFL draft.
Yeah.
But you got to think about it this way. Five stars. They only hand out so many of those in the recruiting rankings. And, yes, there's like 20 recruiting rankings now, but there's two that matter. And most of them are pretty unified on the five stars. This is in basketball and football. But in football, if you are a five-star player, many of them end up being what? First-round picks in the NFL. Kenny, we are Browns fans. How important are first-round picks in the NFL?
Outrageously.
Yes, you can get good players in the sixth round. But if you miss on a first-round pick in the first round – you're screwed. If you hit on one, Myles Garrett. If you hit on one, Denzel Ward. If you hit on one, was Chubb a first round or was he second?
Second.
Okay, but close. Would have been first.
That's the diamond in the rough you're talking
about.
Would
have been first had he not have gotten injured, right?
I mean, you got to use this as an argument, even though let's just leave it to where it is. Sometimes you get a walk-on like Baker Mayfield who ends up winning a Heisman Trophy for you.
Yes, it does happen.
Yes.
But the reality is there's a reason Ohio State – and Clemson, and now Georgia, or it's another SEC school every year, and then, of course, Alabama. There's a reason why they really don't look at the composite rankings of how many guys times how many stars. No, you look at one column. You look at the five stars because they don't miss on the five stars all that often. Ohio State's missed on a few. Every school does. But most of those guys, they are five stars for a reason. They can detect those at, like, 16 years old. A lot of those players, they know. Some of them grow a little bit later, but they know. The people around that sport know. And the reality is Notre Dame, more years than not, this year is an anomaly. We'll see if they can keep them. More years than not, you might be able to get two. Guess how many Alabama and Ohio State get every year? And those guys are expected to be first-round picks in the NFL draft. Yeah. You can't compete on a year-by-year, but you might one year you can compete. Sure, 1 year you might be able to. But you can't do it year after year unless you are in on every five-star in your region, and then you get one out of California, one out of Texas, two out of California, two out of Texas, or some variation. Look at Ohio State's recruiting. Over the last 15 years, they've been able to do that. That's why Ohio State's top five every year. That's why. It's right there. End of story. So you can't do it at Notre Dame. At Oklahoma, you're not going to be able to do it over time. Lincoln Riley was getting the quarterbacks and the receivers.
Yeah, he was.
And the running backs, they were getting them, but unfortunately, you need the offensive lineman, you need the defensive lineman, you need the secondary guy. There are so many of those that you need.
Extend Technologies, XTNDAV.com. That brings up the question, is every situation safe? Is it like now the one of the big things, okay, Ryan Day's lost a Big Ten game.
Mm-hmm.
His first ever Big Ten game he lost. What a hell of a loss to have. But he lost his first ever Big Ten game, which I didn't even realize.
Isn't that crazy? Lord.
So he's not won a national championship. He has an NFL background.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed he was never going. I assumed he was never leaving for all the reasons I specified at the beginning.
Never leaving Ohio State?
I didn't think he was leaving without a national championship.
Okay.
I should say. I'm sorry. No, that was my fault. I said he had to win a national championship, then he could kind of go. Does that change now? I mean, because now you're looking at there's going to be two things. There's going to be guys who say, I'm tired of this. I don't need to be texting 17-year-olds anymore how much I love them. Let's go to the NFL. Because now I just give them the paycheck, and we have a salary cap and everything like that. Even though the NFL is a much bigger snake pit than anybody realizes when it, when it comes to coaching and when it comes to coaches and backstabbing and things like that. It is a total snake pit. So in college football, is Ryan Day a guy who would leave Ohio State without a national championship and go to the NFL?
I would never say never at this point.
Really?
I think it's silly, given the landscape, that anyone thinks that things can't go sour anywhere. And I know Ohio State's the one program of all of them. Remember, Alabama was down before Saban. Okay? LSU has been up, down, up, down. They've had three guys win national championships, and then they've had terrible years. Okay? All these teams have the ups and the downs. Ohio State is the one program in the country. Where was the down? Where was the down since Jim Tressel took over?
No, we had 6-6 one year with Luke Fickell.
And that was it.
Before he was ready.
And that was under sanctions. And then the next year they went undefeated but couldn't go to a bowl game.
Gives me a little bit of pause about certain somebodies out there as well that are being rumored for coaching jobs. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, understood.
Well, I mean, we're just going to call it and say it. Like Marcus Freeman seems like it's a slam dunk to stay at Notre Dame to be the head coach. It's like, well, now – they knew that Luke Fickell wasn't going to be the head-time football coach or full-time head coach forever. So that affected the team, I'm sure. This team would know that Marcus Freeman's their head coach. Do you see a same type of similar problem? Like, Marcus Freeman's still young, and he has no head coaching experience.
And by the way, Jim,
he's a good recruiter.
And Ryan Day had no head coaching experience, and Buckeyes didn't even do a national search. They just said, you know what, we're sticking with what we stuck with.
Yeah.
The parallels.
That's a good point.
Parallels between Notre Dame and the Ohio State situation. Ohio State, obviously, Tressel, when he left, I think it was Memorial Day, different timing. But Ohio State did not make a rash decision. They waited. They waited, realized they could get Urban. Fickell might have been the coach. They weren't going to fire him just because they knew. They knew when he coached that bowl game against Florida that they lost, they kind of knew they were getting Urban at that point. So it was an easy breakup. But what would have happened had Urban not have done it or said, my doctor won't let me if you believe that stuff, or I just have no interest, or I'm waiting for an NFL job then? I think Fickell would have been their coach.
Ooh.
I do. In this case with Notre Dame, do you go and try to salvage your classes right now, your two excellent classes that you have, with Marcus Freeman, or do you wait for Luke Fickell? Luke Fickell's not going to commit. He's not going to pull Brian Kelly. He's not going to do it. That's not him. I'd be stunned. I guess never say never if enough money is floated in front of you, but he's not going to abandon a chance to take a non-Power 5 team to
You want to see it through. I mean, what if you're the number 4 team and you upset Georgia? I don't think you have a chance in hell. What if you did? What if they woke up on the wrong side? Like you always ask yourself if you do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave and you watch your team go get shellacked 48-0, then that's it. I know we got some audio we want to play. And the more I asked that question, but I'm glad I wasn't like thinking about it. I just asked it because I'm like, oh, you know what? Marcus Freeman, I think, will work totally different. Like maybe Luke Fickell, who definitely was in over his head at Ohio State year one or his only year. Like Luke Fickell's definitely a different coach and seen differently now by any players he would coach in this year, 2021, than he was back then. Totally different. So now that he's kind of himself and can be himself altogether, like he got that time to relax, kind of survey the landscape, take over a job, start to build, do well at that job, and then kind of get rumored for this, maybe that changes now with Luke Fickell. So maybe it's different with Marcus Freeman, because Marcus Freeman already seems like he'd be totally different from Brian Kelly, and all the players really like Marcus Freeman. Either way, we have reaction here.
Yeah, this is great. So this happened last night. Now, the Notre Dame players do a podcast, and that is on the Inside the Garage podcast, The Volume. That's Colin Coward's one of his many businesses that he has. He just has so many businesses.
He owns 8 Cold Stone Creameries as well.
Is that true?
That's not true at all. Boy, that was believable.
I believed it.
Damn, that's
should
have kept that going.
Aziz Ansari and his Cold Stone bit.
He's like it, love it, gotta have it.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Good stuff. Good stuff, everybody.
Good stuff.
You're in for the herd.
Good stuff.
Oh, now I'm going to let some female talk for a little bit.
Herd headlines.
All right, so.
Is that what they do that still?
They do it all.
Okay.
So they talked yesterday before Brian Kelly left. Like, they're getting ready to hopefully play for a playoff game if they get a few outcomes to go their way. Then Brian Kelly leaves. Then the Inside the Garage podcast has an emergency session. This is so great. Only in 2021 could you have players, and they're getting paid
the
for this.
The players are having an emergency podcast.
And because of NIL, they're getting paid. So you want to talk about being live and local?
Wow.
This went into emergency session, and here is some of the players talking about Brian Kelly and the timing on him leaving. Here's the first one, the first clip.
I think the worst part is just the timing of it all, and that's just why people are reacting the way that they are. I feel like if this was at the end of a bowl game or at the end of championship, rather, if we won a championship, it wouldn't get the reaction that personally getting. But kind of crazy because literally on the podcast I recorded 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago, whatever, I literally said recruits shouldn't be committed to a school
because of coach.
I'm getting all these texts and calls like, yo, are you okay? Like, come to my school, come to this school. Like, one of my boys asked me to come to Jackson State. I'm like, bro, no, I'm fine. Like, I didn't come here for Coach Kelly. Respect to Coach Kelly. I have nothing but respect for the man. He's helped me along the way, but I'm here because of Notre Dame. This is kind of weird dynamic.
All right, that's courtesy of the Sweaty Balls podcast. Do you like the way they're talking?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they're playing.
I think they're a little bit surprised.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
I'm not a subscriber. I'm sorry. I don't know. They're probably much more gregarious.
Right, now. When their coach didn't just leave.
Yeah.
Do we know if they recorded this before his 15 minutes on campus this morning?
Oh, good point, yes. Well, they knew they had to get some sleep in. They had to be up early for the meeting. Okay, here is a second clip about this from the players.
But it just sucks having to find out that way. Like, I wish he could have. It's not saying that he wasn't going to. I just wish that he had the opportunity to tell his team he was around every single day. And I think that's the worst part about the media because they don't really care about feelings and they just want to get whatever will get clicks.
First
thing that'll get clicks. And
it wasn't even his fault.
Yeah.
And you hear about the guys in like the NBA, NFL, like that found out they're traded through social media.
Yeah.
Like that's horrible. Like what you're saying, like that's horrible. Like it shouldn't be that way, but it's just everyone wants to be the first person to say it, right? And I don't know. At the end of the day, I hate that. I hate on Twitter. Like, when I check news, I go to Twitter.
Right. Yeah.
And I think we all do that. And I don't know. I kind of hate how that's like the state of it right now.
Yeah.
All right. Audio courtesy of Inside the Garage podcast with Cam Hart, Connor Radigan. That's a great Notre Dame name. I don't think he'll be going to LSU with him. KJ Wallace and Kyle Hamilton via The Volume. Like, there's no way, right? Any guys named Murphy on that team, they're not going down to the Bayou.
Sorry. That's pretty good. That's a good one. Well, that's – I love that the media – that God, players are so brainwashed about media.
Didn't they sound like cult members?
They're doing media. They are doing a form of media. They are being paid to commentate on
it. Yeah, they're now in the media.
You are in the media. The media. Like, you are in the media. It's you're part of that media. I will tell you this, though. Like, they say, like, oh, you didn't have any time. That's garbage. You got time. Unless security's like, you're gone, you're no longer welcome on the premises. They could do that if they really wanted to. Of course, you have to be able to collect your belongings. They're your personal effects.
Wait, I wanted to ask you about this.
Oh, please.
Lincoln Riley, we'll get back to that in a second. Lincoln Riley was leaving with his coaches in USC, what were they? What are the...
Tell me you noticed the same thing I did. Please.
The quarter zip or whatever?
The Tahoes or whatever. What were they? The Suburbans?
They were OU Suburbans.
They were OU. And,
you noticed
and so you I noticed. Now the jet could not have been OU. There's no way an OU jet. You are cut off.
No.
You're not going to
You've
California.
You've taken your last plane ride.
Yes, you're free. Your last freebie. But if you are driving, you're the driver. Jim Tressel had a driver. I met his driver when he had to do the recruiting on the – and they back then they drove a lot more.
Are you employed by Jim Tressel or are you employed by the school?
I don't know, but you're driving a car that is clearly marked, okay, and yeah. And is paid for by the school. You are the driver. Do you –
I thought it was a bad look.
Do you shake his? Do you shake Lincoln Riley's hand, or do you not talk to him, or does Lincoln Riley say, "Roll up the windows"? I know it's not a limousine, but you know what I mean. Are you like, I am not talking? You know they're on the phone the whole time. How awkward of a trip is that?
It depends. Did you have a relationship before? Or was the guy always a dick? A lot of coaches are not cool dudes. There are some good guys,
but
there
the drivers,
really good guys.
The drivers, in a way, are. Somewhat a part of the family because they know where the bodies are buried.
They can be. They may very well not be.
I just thought about how awkward that was that the OU marked vehicles, not an Uber, not an Uber Black, not a concierge service.
I thought it was the same thing. I was like, oh my God, those are OU. These are OU vehicles and they're taking him to the airport and he left in the cover of darkness.
Yes.
It was unbelievable
to me. Yeah, no one ever leaves in the daytime. It just doesn't work.
No.
Then he arrives in a plane first, then a helicopter that lands at the Memorial Coliseum. The Hollywood sign is in the background. They light up the entire stadium. They have the big video board. The song girls are parading around. I asked you, how tired are they with their arms?
And they got to work. They got to. I mean, they probably do it to a point where they don't even notice.
They made them. They paraded those damn song girls around every orifice of that campus yesterday with Lincoln Riley. And you're looking at Lincoln going, You know for a fact, there's just a little bit of them. Just a little bit of them going, are we sure about this?
Why would there be? Because
that would be for anything. Of course, then you go into your pillows, your golden pillows at night, and you go, oh, well, this is pretty good. But you know that it's awkward. You had to just cut off your relationship with a lot of people that you love and loved you. And those relationships are over. Those boosters that he golfed with and over. Probably went to an adult club at some point or went to a Vegas trip with, those relationships were cut off. Think about that. Your finance guy that you brought in, that they brought to you in Oklahoma, like that guy's gone.
I've heard the stories, man. I've heard the stories about, like, it's different there. It's, well, Lincoln Riley's always kind of like, he brought it to Oklahoma a bit. Oklahoma's always been at a high level. But it's not that way at every school. Like, every school wants to win, but there are more folksy schools. Mm-hmm. And, like, that would, like we heard the stories, like, Matt, like, getting really emotional leaving Toledo. Because it's like, yeah, man, you could win 7 games a year and be at Toledo for the rest of your life. They're happy with that. Like Jason Candle won, what, 7 games this year?
Mm-hmm.
He'll go to a bowl game.
Bahamas Bowl.
Yeah, they're going to a bowl game. And for as much as people are like, you won 7 games. That's what's expected in the MAC, and you don't make a ton of money. You're not starving, but you be there. Yeah. Tommy Amstutz was there for a long time. Like, you can be a coach. I could see him. The guy from Ohio who went to Lincoln – playing for Nebraska. Frank Solich.
Yeah, Frank Solich, yeah.
Good God, what a brain fart. Frank Solich was there for 20 years at OU.
By the way, OU has some of the most players in the transfer portal in the group of five.
Yeah.
Man, it hits you fast. OU may never recover from Solich.
They may never recover.
For a while.
Oh, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while, but they will. They will. It's a fun school.
If they just could have gotten Joe Burrow. Imagine if Burrow was just a little worse.
They got Dave Zastadil. Yeah, they got Dave Zastadil years ago. That worked out for him. But, like, there is a part of you that knows, like, it's never going to be the same. Like, you hear the stories about Saban. Saban just looks through people. Like, there's very few people he has because it's always the next win, the next win, the next win, the next game, the next recruit. It's all pushing forward. And now he has to, because if he takes any minute to smell the roses, he's going to feel like an extremely old man because he's 69 years old.
He knows. Yeah.
And I think it's the same way with a lot of guys. And so that can become a very emotional thing. But I think for Lincoln Riley, it's one big school to a bigger school, and that's it. Like, I don't know if it was ever really let's love each other at Oklahoma the way it was. Like, Bob Stoops took over, and Owen knows this better than me. He took over a rough situation. And he built that thing up. And they won a national championship, and there are lifelong friends that Bob Stoops has in Norman, Oklahoma, who are movers and shakers.
Is Owen listening? Yes. Owen, you listening?
He knows I'm
of
right.
Of course.
Who do you
Owen,
want?
Owen, how right am I?
Who do you
oh,
want?
Oh, yeah, Owen, who the hell do you want at Oklahoma? Come on, tell us.
Brett Venables.
You want Brett Venables?
Yeah.
Which apparently there was a falling out with him and Stoops, but they'll swallow their pride on that.
Yeah.
I mean, if they can get Venables, they'll...
His name sounds like a dog food.
They will swallow their pride.
He was the yin. Is it yin and yang?
Yeah.
He was the yin to Stoops' yang. I mean, they...
Yeah.
That was the whole deal for 12 years. I mean...
Brent Tender Venables.
Tasty.
Very tasty.
I don't Can I tell you why I don't like Venables?
Wait, you don't want Bob Stoops?
Well, yeah, I'm good with Stoops. I just don't... He's 61.
He is 61, yeah.
Older than me.
Can I tell you why I don't
earlier.
Like Bob Stoops? Or no, I like Bob Stoops. Owen, can I tell you why I don't like Brent Venables?
Bring back Mike Leach.
It's the khakis?
No, it's not the khakis. I am so annoyed by Brent Venables that... Because I need a get-back coach. I need my own personal get-back coach because I'll run out there on the field. Like, you're the football coach. You're an adult. Stand on the sidelines where you belong. It is totally, like, if a player gets a sideline warning, those are players, they're players, they're kids, they're young, they don't know any better sometimes. They should know better, but they don't. You're the football coach. You're that hyped up, you can't stay, I can't be on the sidelines, I'm just going to end up on, so you're just going to creep further and further onto the field? What are you going to do? You really need a get-back coach that bad? It's the dumbest thing ever. No, you're making a show of yourself. There's been plenty of great Dick LeBeau, the most legendary defensive coordinator, in our generation, in the AFC North, had no problem. Oh, let me at him. Oh, let me at him. I'll give him a fat eye. I'll give him a fat lip. No, you don't need to do any of that. This is so stupid. Stop making a show of yourself. Real quick, before we go, Anthony Lyman takes a better job. How does he tell his team? How does he tell his team?
You mean like my team here at the radio station?
No, you're a football coach. I mean, eventually. But you're a football coach, and you've taken a better job. What do? How you do it? Brian Kelly sent a text or an email, it looks like.
I think it almost has to end ugly. I think it's almost best that way.
Why?
I think you got to.
Why can't you just call a team meeting? Mm-hmm. Like, listen, we got to. How could you have not said, hey, I got to.
Oh, I have a feeling I know why.
Why?
I think in the process of you taking that job and the process of you going and getting your stuff.
Ooh.
I think lawyers are involved. And you have to make sure that you can leave, because what happens if you tell your team I'm leaving, then the college football world knows you're leaving, and then something contractually, and guys, their contracts are looked over, and everyone's contracts should be looked over like a fine-tooth comb, but those are even longer, more comprehensive, what you can do, what you can't do, what you're promised, what you are promised, what is verbal to you, what is guaranteed to you. If you tell anybody that you're taking the job – and you don't end up taking the job, something falls through the 11th hour, you're screwed.
See, I don't
you might
that.
Already have recruits poached. Like,
I don't believe that.
You're kind of screwed.
When you're gone, you're gone. So if
you said he couldn't go back?
No, what I'm saying is if you've accepted the position and you've accepted it, it's public knowledge that you've accepted the position. As of 7 this morning, it was public that he's accepted the job at LSU. This is my thing.
It's already
You've
leaked.
Accepted
it's already
that,
leaked.
That's fine. But I'm going to sit down with you, with my players, whether there's 100 of you sitting in this room.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about it for a second here. Okay? Now, I can't sit here and be yelled at from across the room by 100 different people.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you at least the chance to answer at least a few questions before it's like, listen, I'm going to make this like, if you go in at 7 o'clock, I got an hour. I got an hour to sit here. Okay? And maybe that's too much time. Maybe there's coach. If any coach listens to this, going, man, you got your head so far up your ass, you don't know where to go. Okay, fine. I got a half hour. Let me make this short and sweet. I know you guys are reading a lot of things. I need to tell you this face to face, so you know in the future you heard it directly from me, and I know for my own personal edification, I told you directly to your face. This is the way this business is. I can't just tell you guys face to face, and you're the first ones to know. There's too many people involved. There's too many media members involved. I just have to tell you, I've accepted this position. I'm sorry to do this. I expected last week I was planning to be here for the rest of my life, but there's going to be situations in your guys' life where you were planning to do this, that, and the other for the rest of your life, and there's been a chance at the opportunity of a lifetime for me. I know that Notre Dame football is the opportunity of a lifetime for you, and I'm really sorry to have to do this. I have to do what's best for me and my family, and I pray that you guys will be in this position someday where you guys get to do something that's life-changing for you. just understand.
That's
I have to do this.
Very diplomatic way of doing things. Absolutely. I think in the end, I would probably just go on Holly Saunders' OnlyFans account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.